Lord has said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
As Christians, we live in a very difficult time. Last Friday, during the Alive Fellowship, a couple of students shared with me something really not fair to them at school. You know, in the past couple of weeks, we learned about this very sad incidents of the massacre in Orlando. A gunman fired and killed about 50 people in a gay bar, right? Yeah, we all heard that news. And among the discussions in the high schools, there will be people taunting and mocking Christians who are like known as Christians in a high school, and says, hey, you Christians must be happy now. You know? Like, I just cannot imagine how other people would say that Christians would be happy about the slaughtering of other people, even gay and lesbian. But somehow, society perceived that these are what Christians would be. So nowadays, our identity as Christians are constantly being despised and mocked in the secular world, in our public schools. So what should we do? Should we just conform to the world? Because it is so much easier to join the majority? Or should we become secret, silent Christians so that nobody can identify us and will not taunt us? Or should we let these ridicules, persecutions be a challenge to deepen and strengthen our faith? That's the choices that we have to make. In today's scripture, we hear that God calls a man, Abram. He gave him a new identity and called him to go to a new place, away from his homeland, and to live a life of faith in a pagan world. From the experience of Abram, we can learn valuable lessons and encouragement to all of us who studied or work in a secular world. Genesis 12, we just read, is an important watershed in the Bible. It is a turning point, because in Genesis chapter 1 to 11, it started out with a perfect world. People, Adam and Eve, living in the Garden of Eden. And then we see that the sin, because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, sin entered into humanity. And as population of human increased, so sin increased. Violence, murder, hate, pride, etc. But God has not given up on humans, and he set his plan of salvation in motion. Genesis 12 is the moments that God's wheel of salvation start to turn. And he do that by choosing one person. Out of all the people in the world, God chose a man, Abram, to set out his salvation plan. Later on, he gave Abram a new name, Abraham, which means father of many, father of many. And Abraham's life becomes a model of all believers after him. He models a life of faith. He is the father of faith. So as we read just now, the first verse of chapter 12, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.'" Here we see that faith demands a radical abandonment of the past. God asked Abram to leave his family, his homeland, security, and his previous religion of idol worshiping. In those times, maybe in those areas, it's most probably moon worshippers. In the olden world, for a person who leave his tribe, his homeland, and go to a new place, means they pretty well lose all the security. It is a challenge calling Abraham to leave the comfort of his past to a discomfort unknown of new era. From the security he used to have, worldly security, to trusting in nothing else but God alone. God asked him to go to the land I will show you. Didn't even tell him where to go, but just go. Go to this land. No plan, no map, no itinerary. Just go As you go, I will show you. As Christians, Jesus demands the same from us. Jesus said to all his followers, you need to deny yourself, carry the cross, and follow me. Just like the songs we sang earlier this morning, we have to surrender ourselves or everything, our all. Surrender the control of our life to follow our Lord Jesus. It's no difference. The demand is still the same. In faith, we have to follow our Lord Jesus and give up, surrender our control of ourselves. When God called Abraham for this abandonment of the past, God also gave Abraham a promise of a fulfilled life. With this demand, there is a promise. In verse 2 and 3 says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Here, God promised Abraham greatness and blessing. Greatness and blessings. Greatness can have two meanings. It can be great in terms of significance, it's like a great man, or it can be great in terms of number, a great number of people. Here, as it turned out, we know in the Bible that in Abraham's life, both of these have been fulfilled. Abraham is both a great man and a great father of many. He is the patriarch of three major religions in human history: Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. They all lift up Abraham as their patriarch. And in terms of number, God promised Abraham that he will make him into a great nation. Out of Abraham comes the nation of Israel. The Israelites, the Bible described when they came to the land of Canaan, it's like the sand of the sea. And not only that, after Abraham are many millions and millions of Christians who are the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Then it's the blessings. In these two verses, it's repeatedly talk about God promising, bless Abraham, bless. In that context, God blessed Abraham by saying, I give you the land, I will protect you, no harm will come before you, upon you. That's the blessings. But according to the Bible, the greatest blessings that one can have is the salvation from sin through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a seed of Abraham. In these two verses, we can see a progress of salvation. Like, this is the God's salvation plan. And when he called Abraham, This plan actually have, you can see a progression of how it works. And this is how it works. First, God called a man, Abraham. And then verse 2 is from Abraham, God is going to raise up a nation. And then after this nation, he's going to use this nation to bless all peoples. So this is God's plan. This is God's salvation plan setting out in motion. And then in verse 4 to 9, we see that Abram responded in faith. So he left. So God called him to leave the homeland and set out a new place. And Abraham left. Abram, as the Lord had told him. I have this map of Abraham started off in Mesopotamia in Ur, and then he left, and then he went to Haran at the northmost part, and then he went south to the land of Canaan where God asked him. Okay, so you can see this, it's like a curve, what people call the crescent. If you ask, like, why did not God just ask Abraham to go across, like, horizontal westward? You can, because it's a great desert. So people typically travel along where fertile lands are, along follow the river. So in this passage, it describes Abram's obedience to God's command and go to enter the land of Canaan. Here, what is most notable in this passage is we see that as Abraham journeyed, he is not journeying alone, not just with his own immediate family, but he journeyed actually with the presence of God. Because wherever he went, he set up an altar. He built an altar. As an altar, he built an altar as a marker for God. And in this altar, he worshiped God. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. At age 75, he's about 10 years older than our normal retirement age in our modern world. 10 years after retirement age, Abram started a new venture. So I hope this provides inspiration to the retiree among us. James, Joanne, King, Amy, you know, God is speaking to you. Past retirement, you can start a new venture. Abram did. And first he settled, the Bible described, he settled first in Shechem. Shechem is the heart of Canaan. And then at the great tree of Moreh at Shechem, usually a great tree is identified as a place of worship for the local people. And Abram there built a new altar for God and marked and claimed this place for God. And then he went further south to the place between Bethel or Baal between Bethel and Ai. He also built an altar and called on the name of the Lord, praying to God, praising God. We see in Genesis, Abraham's life is not perfect. He have his weak point, he have his failures, shortfalls. But he started off right, in a good foundation. Wherever he goes, he lives and he built an altar, and he remember God, he lives in the presence of God. As we think of our own faith journey, we can learn from this phase of Abraham's life to maintain a relationship to God. Let us think about ourselves. Follow Abraham's example. In our life, always remember to build a close relationship with God, characterized by continuing praising and praying to God, like Abraham. Build an altar in your life. Furthermore, it encourages that, you know, that experience of Abraham, hearing God call and a promise is not unlike our own experience. You see, we said, oh, okay, Abraham hears God call. How about us? Whenever we open a Bible, we can hear God's words speaking to us. So it's not that much different. Christians are people of the ear, not of the eye. God do not encourage us to build up faith by sight, but God encourages us to be people who listen to God's word. We need to tune our ears so that we are more sensitive to God's word in our life. The call of God to Abraham is the sneak preview for the rest of the Bible. It is a story of God bringing salvation to all tribes and nations through the holy nation, Israel. Administered at first through the covenant with Moses, and then by the Lord Jesus Christ through the new covenant. Let us turn to the Bible to read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Here, the Apostle Peter addressed Christians to both Jewish and Gentile Christians. And he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Every Christians are called by God. Just like God called Abraham, Christians are called by God out of darkness into his wonderful light. And the purpose of God called Abraham is to bless so that through him all nations are blessed. And also the purpose of God calling us Christians is for us to declare the praises of our Lord Jesus. As Christians living in a dark world without the true light of Jesus Christ, how often we declare the gospel of Jesus Christ? Last Thursday, I went to a luncheon hosted by a ministry called Passion to Reach. It's called Passions to Reach Ministries. This ministry's goal is to teach Christians how to witness the gospel effectively. And in the luncheon, one pastor gave the testimony. He said he used to be a Muslim about 10 years ago. And in his neighborhood, he lived in the same house for many, many, many years. He said he had a neighbor whom he knew. Even when he was a Muslim, he said they must be Christians because they always go to dress nice on Sunday morning and leave, you know, and yet he says when he lived with this neighbor for over 15 years, he says never once this neighbor have ever shared with him, talked to him about Jesus or invite him to church. I don't know how many of you have shared your faith, Jesus, with your neighbors, with your co-worker, friends at the school. I wonder if we haven't done that. Why? So it's this ministry wants to train Christians to have the knowledge or motivate Christians to share faith. Cross-cultural or to defend the faith. Why don't we share our faith with others? Is it because of fear of rejection? Or because of a lack of knowledge? Don't know what to say. What happens if they ask questions that we don't know how to answer? Abraham walked in faith. God called him, and Abraham responded in faith. And the result is all peoples on earth are blessed through him. So for let us respond also in faith and obedience to Jesus' call to make disciples of all nations. It's a journey of faith. As we share, the Holy Spirit will guide us. But the most important thing is we have to be intentional to share the gospel. And I hope in the near future, we also arrange some training seminars for people who feel that they need to be equipped to be intentional Jesus witnesses. May all Christian nations also can be blessed through us. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, you are our Lord and Savior. the greatest blessings in our life is to know you. Lord, yet there are many people in this world who do not yet know you. And you have called us out of darkness into this wonderful light of being called children of God. So help us acknowledge the fact that you call us is so that we can be a blessing to the people around us. You have given us a new identity. We are called children of God. So let us respond in obedience as faithful children of you to declare your praises and help our church to be a blessing to the community around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We all rise. Pastor Wong says that we need to be more sensitive to the things that the scriptures are telling us. This next song is called Consuming Fire. And in Hebrews 12, it says that we haven't come to a place, but what reminds us, sorry, there's two things. It talks about God in the Old Testament, where people were afraid to even touch the holy mountain because they had to stone whatever touched that mountain to death, even an animal. But in Hebrews it says we haven't come to a God that's like that, but instead we have come to a new covenant with Jesus. But at the same time, God is still God. He still deserves that respect. He is that consuming fire, but at the same time, he has given us a new covenant in Jesus. And as we sing this song, let's remember to let Jesus to in our heart. He's the one who, took our place for us so that God doesn't have to have that type of other covenant anymore. But instead, he stands in front of us as our mediator in front of God. So as we sing this song, let's let the breath of God come within us. Let Jesus into our hearts as we sing this song.
Must be more than this. Oh, breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than this. Spirit of God, we wait for you. Fill us anew, we pray. Fill us anew, we pray. Consuming fire, fade into flame. A passion for your name, Spirit of God. Would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. have your way with us. Come like a rushing wind, clothe us with power from on high. Now set the captives free, leave us abandoned to your praise. Lord, let your glory fall. Lord, let your glory fall. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Consuming fire. Consuming fire, fan into flame. A passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Stir it up.
Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, Lord. Stir it up in hearts, passion for your name.
Consuming fire.
Fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.
garbage. It's brand new.
Who bought that?
Me. Who dropped it?
No.
Once in a while.
Is there a way, is it auto programmed? Yeah, it says 614 megahertz or something like that.
Is there something in the back of the
channel? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Hey, there might be interference.